Thank you, Jacob.
You're welcome.
We do have an option today. We have Children's Church for those who would like to attend Children's Church. They can be dismissed to go to that now. And those who want to stay can stay. So you have an option of staying or leaving. I know Justine's prepared for this, and it's going to be a big day for her. But she's gifted and a great singer, so I know that she has something prepared for the kids. Well, let's pray as we start. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for the entire week that we've had with each one of these kids, learning to know them and helping them to come to know you. And Lord, we just pray that you'll bless our time and use it for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, have you ever had anything very important to tell someone and you had just a little bit of time to do it? Well, in our history of Ohio, there was a guy who was like that. His name was Commander Oliver Perry. And he did that by making up a sign saying, or a flag that said, "Don't give up the ship." And he put that on his flagship. And during the Battle for Lake Erie in 1813, he certainly had a lot to say to his sailors. He didn't have time to tell them, but all they had to do was look at the flag and see the main thing that he wanted to tell them. These words were to be remembered that he said in order that his men might have the right direction in battle when he didn't have time to sit down and talk to each one of them individually about those things. Well, we had a lot that we wanted to tell the kids this week at Vacation Bible School, and we had very little time really to tell them. Very, very small amount of time. But I think we did get some very good topics into their minds. And I want to review some of the things that we talked about this week so you'll get an idea of exactly what your kids know because of God's grace this week. So five items to remember about Jesus is what I'm going to talk about. Five items to remember about Jesus. First of all, and it's a topical type talk, so we'll be jumping around in the Bible a little bit. Jesus was obedient and resisted temptation, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, which says, "Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." That's what we studied the first night of Vacation Bible School. Jesus gave us an example of how we should live. Obedient, resisting temptation. Saying no to self and saying yes to Jesus. Jesus was both merciful and faithful. Merciful towards people and faithful towards God. Jesus was made like his brethren in every way. He knew what it was like to be a helpless baby. He experienced what it was to be a teenager. At times he was tired, he was hungry and thirsty. He was truly tempted in every way, just like we are. He knew what it was like to be hated and rejected. He experienced suffering and death. And all of these things without sin, in order to be able to serve as our high priest in heaven and be the perfect sacrifice to be given for our sin. So the first thing was Jesus was obedient and resisted temptation. That was Monday. On Tuesday, we learned something else. And we find that verse in 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, which says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." And the Greek word here in this verse for anxiety means the state of being actually pulled apart. Anxieties. I guess all of your anxieties, the stuff that's got you, that's inside of you, that bothers you, that you're worried about. Cast those, give those to Jesus. Now, he has designed us to face life by faith in Jesus. And some people describe Christians as people who are completely fearless, are continually cheerful, and constantly in trouble. And we sometimes think that a Christian has gotten this free pass from suffering. But sufferings, trials, disappointments, hardships are all part of that process that God uses to make us the person that we long to be. And all these things are expected, we're expected to cast onto him. It's kind of like having a set of keys. And the key is, you know, what we do with our heart, what we do with these things. We cast them all upon him, and because he cares for us. We don't keep them to ourselves. We give them over to him. There's a story told about a lady who was named Sophia, and she worked in one of these skyscrapers in New York City, maybe up here, maybe this one here, maybe this one down here. And her job was to clean floors. And she did this, and she didn't really need the money. The money she earned, she used to support missionaries in Africa. And, you know, there was something about her that was different. And people who didn't believe in Jesus would come up to her and say, "What is that shine you have in your eyes? What is there, this joy that you have in the work that you do?" And she would say, "It's Jesus." And then sometimes Christians would come up to her and say, "What is the secret?" And she said, "Well, it's all in how you read your Bibles, how you read that New Testament you have." She said, "We should glory in our troubles and not growl in them." The reason that people don't have joy in their hearts is that they don't respond correctly to the very things that God places in their lives to help them to grow and depend upon Jesus. Don't growl about those things, but glory in those things. So cast all of our anxieties upon him. That's what we talked about on Tuesday. On Wednesday, we talked about worshiping him in spirit and truth. In John chapter 4, verse 24, says the following: "God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and truth." We explain to the children that God is not limited to time or to a certain location. He is spirit. And it doesn't matter where we worship. What matters most is how and whom we worship. Worship must be in spirit. That means from our hearts, not just ritual and something, you know, you kind of go through the motions to do, but something that's internal. And worship must be in truth. That is genuine, real. We must worship him in spirit and in truth. The fourth thing that we studied was that he died in our place, according to Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All are guilty. They're dead spiritually. And we do not respond without God to God's efforts towards us. But because of God's grace, he gave the greatest gift possible. He gave Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that by believing in him, putting our faith and trust in him, we might have this wonderful gift of eternal life. We deserve death, but he died. Jesus came and died in our place and paid the penalty for our sin. Over here we have this statue, or a picture of the Statue of Liberty. And I think everybody probably knows it sits in the harbor at New York. And it was a gift that was given by the citizens of France to the United States in 1876 so that we could celebrate the anniversary of our birthday of our country. And it cost France a lot. Each French citizen gave so that that statue could sit in our harbor. And, you know, for us, our salvation is free. It's by grace. You can't earn it. But it cost God a lot, didn't it? It cost him his very own son, his only begotten son. He allowed his own son to die in our place. He took the punishment for what we deserved. A lot greater gift than the Statue of Liberty. But at least we have it pictured in New York City, the idea of a gift. That was on Thursday. And the last thing that we taught the kids was that he tells us to tell others, according to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, which says, "And Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" So these verses tell us why we can tell others. Because God has given us all the authority to do this. And he tells us where we should be doing this. We leave the safety of our homes. We are the instigators in this process. We are the ones that go out and tell others. And as we're going, we'll see the result of this work. We'll make disciples, make practical learners, followers of Jesus. And he tells us how to do this, how to make disciples of them by baptizing them, making sure that they know that their salvation comes from God alone, and God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All those things, teaching them all things that Christ has commanded. And then he makes a final promise as we go. He says, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." That was it. We didn't have a lot of time to spend with your kids this week, but we're glad for the time that we had. But we taught them those five passages about Jesus, and what he's done. So, did you at home catch from your kids what they learned this week? Did they come home and talk about those things? We tried to teach them a lot by just using a few words, a few images, that they might catch those five things about Jesus. And we did that because we only had a little bit of time in order to do that. But you know, this fall we have a whole program here for kids. And if you want to bring them back, we'd be glad to have them. It'd be great. And we have teachers that are all set up in order to take care of them, teach them even more about Jesus. And we have adult classes for adults too, that you could be a part of, and that would be great too, as we learn together more about Jesus. Jesus said, go to the world, go around the world, and tell them about me. We'll do that. We'll obey him if we know Christ as our Savior. And that seems to be the best-kept secret of all time, doesn't it? That Jesus can be our Savior if we trust him by faith. Let's pray together as we close. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us and for the whole week and the Word of God that helps us throughout life. Lord, we just pray that you'll bless each one of us. You'll use us in this place, in our schools, in our work. Wherever you lead us, you use us for the baking, the building of your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.